Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch at Concordia Seminary. My name is Jeff Gibbs, and I'll be leading the way for a few minutes through the epistle reading for Pentecost 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. This is the appointed lesson this year for August the 8th. And as you know, the lessons for several weeks now track through this section of Hebrews. Of course, Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on the heroes of faith, I think it's important to put it in its context, which is not too difficult. If you just glance back in chapter 10, you see that yet one more time, the writer to the Hebrews is, first of all, holding out the basis for faithful confession and holding fast to the truth, and then exhorting his readers to do that very thing. So the last portion of chapter 10 could arguably begin at verse 19, where the writer speaks of the confidence of entering the holy place through the blood of Jesus. And then verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, and so forth. As you know, the writer does get stern. He warns about the dangers of falling away. But he finishes the chapter on a note of hope, that is to say, on the gifts of God which have not yet been delivered to the world and to God's people. So he quotes in verse 37 and 38 from the prophet Habakkuk, of course, and then confidently says in verse 39 that we are not among those who will shrink back, but of those who have faith and so save their lives. And it's in that context then that this great chapter, a very well-known chapter, comes to us. The first verse, first two verses, of course, in a way, especially the first verse, are kind of a theme that sets up the entire chapter. In our common English usage, we often think of faith as that which looks back at what God has already done and so lives, and hope as that attitude which looks forward to what God is about to do. And that's certainly true, and the Bible does speak that way at times. In this chapter, however, I think faith really rather looks both directions, and the opening verse kind of sets that up. So I think what we'll do is we'll read fairly quickly through the first 16 verses. It's a fairly long reading, and then make just a few grammatical and syntactical comments along the way, and then perhaps a little bit of application. So verse 1, after the writer has said again in the last verse of chapter 10 that we are those of faith unto the preservation of life or the possession of life, then he says, now faith is the hypostasis, greatly debated in its translation, as you know. One of the common translations is the word assurance, reality, something like that. The assurance of the being hoped for things. The participle elpidzamenon there is a present participle passive, and it's acting as a noun, even though there's no article on it. The assurance of the things which are being hoped, it is the elenkos, the conviction of the pragmas, the matters, which are not being seen. A little tiny unusual thing here. You notice that the participle blepamenon is negated with u, in the New Testament at least. Normally you'd negate it with me. Not that it makes much difference at all, but just a small grammatical observation. Now, again, I mentioned that in this chapter, faith seems to look both forward and backwards. Here, of course, it's very forward-looking, that it's the assurance of the things being hoped for. That is to say, faith knows that the present situation is not the sum total, especially when it looks dark, as we'll see the theme often occurring in these verses. But again, faith is always grounded upon something. It's the assurance of what God has promised that he will do. That is the things being hoped for. That is to say, it is the certain conviction of the matters which are not, and you could even add, not yet being seen. What this brings up, of course, is that the writer to the Hebrews, as with all the New Testament writers, has a fully historical understanding of God's work, and he has an eschatological framework. That is, he knows that the heavenly city has not yet come down, and God has not yet renewed the creation. And so in the midst of difficulty, faith that God will one day do these things helps us to continue, which makes it all the more important then that the church's proclamation fully proclaim not just the blessed rest when a Christian dies in faith, not just that, because of course, as you know, the New Testament is not all that interested in that. It mentions it a few times, and it's a good thing. But rather, fully proclaiming the great victory of God when Christ returns in glory. Well, that would be enough. You could preach on verse 1 and make all kinds of application, but we'll go ahead and continue on and get the rest of the reading. So verse 2, for in this or by this, and this there is feminine singular, so the antecedent of the pronoun is faith, for by this, or because of this, perhaps, the elders, the people who lived long ago, whom the writer is about to enumerate, M.R. Tirathizon, were testified to, or received testimony, is a good English gloss. The writer then continues, by faith, and you'll see this over and over again, just piste, which is the dative singular of the noun pistis, and it's the dative of means, by means of faith. By means of faith, noumen, we recognize. And now, again, another common syntax feature in this chapter. After a verb of perceiving or knowing or thinking or speaking, instead of a hati clause, that so-and-so is the case or is not the case, the writer to the Hebrews likes to use the infinitive of indirect discourse, and that's what we have here. What do we understand? Answer. Kat ertisthai, this is from kat artizo, it means to prepare or get ready. The ages to be gotten ready by the word of God. So faith knows that the whole stream of history and creation is accomplished by the word of God. And there was a result to that, of that word of God. Ace ta plus the infinitive. The infinitive is the last word in the verse, geganenai. It's the perfect infinitive of ginomai. So as, with the result that the subject of the infinitive is ta blepamenon, the thing being seen, presumably the visible creation, has not happened. The may at the beginning of the construction negates the infinitive at the end. So as the thing being seen has not happened out of phenomenon, another participle that's acting as a noun, even though it doesn't have an article, the things being manifested. So, in other words, at least including this, the doctrine of God creating ex nihilo by means of his word. Verse 4, the writer continues. Now we get the first Old Testament so-called hero or example. Piste, by faith, a pleona thysion. This is accusative. Pleona is the comparative form of polus. It means greater or better. Abel offered, pros eninkan, a better sacrifice, para Cain, than Cain to God, through which he, Abel, was testified that, once again, infinitive of indirect discourse, enai, that he was dikaios, righteous. Now a genitive absolute with God, about six words later, as the subject of the participle. God himself, autu tu theu, bearing witness because of his deeds. And through it, that is, through faith, apathanon, participle, although he died, still he is speaking. That is to say, Abel, I think I said Cain a second ago, Abel is speaking. He's giving witness. He's one of those who testifies, as the writer will say at the beginning of chapter 12. Again, by faith, Enoch was translated, was transferred, to plus the infinitive, expressing result, so as not to see death, and he was not being found. Imperfect there, ongoing. They looked for him and they couldn't find him. Di'ati, because God had transferred, translated him. Four, before the translation, before the transfer, before he was taken up, memartiretai, he had received testimony to be pleasing to God. Yet one more infinitive of indirect discourse. Aoriste kenai is perfect infinitive active of aoristeo. Now a little parenthetical comment here that is a familiar Bible verse. It kind of hangs off the fact that Enoch was in a consummate way pleasing to God. Verse 6. Now, apart from faith, to be pleasing is impossible, for it is necessary. What is necessary? Pistousai, infinitive. To believe, for and who is supposed to be doing the believing? The one who approaches God. So ton pros erkamenon is the subject of pistousai. For the one believing God, it is necessary for the one approaching God to believe that he is, and that he is, genetai, at the very end of the verse, the misthopadates, the one who rewards or gives recompense to tois exetuzenathan, those who seek him. Again, it's not to believe something that you see with your eyes, but to believe something that you know about God, even if it hasn't happened yet, even if you haven't yet received the misthopadates, the reward, the recompense. Or as, that's a good enough gloss. More Old Testament heroes. By faith, after he had been warned in a revelation, Noah, about the things not yet being seen, Noah, because he was reverently fearful, if we could translate the participle that way, eulabe theis, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his house through which God condemned the world. And he became the heir of the according to faith righteousness. Again, each one of these stories, you know, you could pause and reflect and amplify, but there's this tremendous ongoing litany. The danger, of course, to be avoided in all of this is to end up without perhaps meaning to focus upon the men themselves rather than upon the one in whom they place their faith. So you could end up preaching about faith rather than preaching the one in whom they believed, and so offering that same one to the congregation, to the people who are listening to you. So again, marching on fairly quickly. Now we get to Abraham, and the writer, not surprisingly, carries over Abraham for many, many verses. So by faith, being called, when he was called, Abraham obeyed to go out into a place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. Again, notice that the biblical idea of inheritance here is not necessarily wrapped up in someone dying and leaving you something. Yahweh didn't die when he gave the land as an inheritance. The Old Testament meaning of inheritance is not necessarily what we understand today with wills and deaths and things like that. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So by faith, Abraham obeyed so as to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, even though he didn't, a nice concessive participle, even though he did not understand where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a stranger in tents. And this next participle, perhaps causal or temporal, while he dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, they were the heirs of the same promise. tein epangelias tais autais. And note that the third person pronoun there with the article in attributive position means same. Up in verse 4, it was in predicate position with God, and it meant it intensified. It meant God himself there, not God the same. 4, verse 10, Abraham was expecting the city, which the one which has foundations, of which the builder and the designer is God. Now, again, this is not Platonism. Abraham is looking forward to the land. And as Paul tells us in Romans 4, part of the promise of the land is that Abraham would become heir of the entire world. So the city that Abraham is looking for is not some Neoplatonic, Gnostic, up there kind of city. He's looking for the new heavens and the new earth. This is the writer to the Hebrews' understanding and that of the entire incident. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself, as a barren one, received power unto the conception of unto the laying down of seed, and, now this is a difficult phrase, the time of stature, and beyond the time of stature. The ESV translates it something like, even when she was past the age, knowing the story of the census tolerably enough. Now, epe means since she regarded the one who has promised as faithful. Therefore, also from one, they happened, and we have to wait till we get to the subject of they happened, and as of one having become dead, these things, just as, now what happened? Just as the stars of the sky with respect to multitude, and as the sand which is by the lip or the side of the sea, the number. Again, as we all know, Hebrews syntax is fairly difficult, so that's why we're going fairly quickly. It all happened by faith. Again, another point that I don't think I've made yet, it's very important not to gloss over the difficulties which these Christians, these Old Testament believers experienced, nor to think that they never faltered. And it would be a greater mistake, which becomes clearer as the chapter goes on, to think that they had a happy life. This is the chapter, after all, where the writer says that by faith people were sawn in two. So it's important not to turn this chapter in some sort of a silly name and claim it sort of theology. So the lesson appointed goes on through verse 16. We'll get that very quickly now. By faith, these all, according to faith, these all died. Well, that's a kind of a discouraging note, but that's the point. Faith is the assurance of the things which are hoped for and not yet seen. So, according to faith, these all died, and they had not received the promises, but from afar, because they saw them, and they greeted and acknowledged that they were strangers and sojourners upon the earth. Verse 14. For those who speak such things are making it clear that they are seeking a fatherland. Again, the fatherland is the new heavens and the new earth, which has not yet had, not yet taken. And that's the point of the writer to the Hebrews there. That all these, as he says earlier, will not be perfected apart from us. And now we have a contrary to fact conditional sentence. If they had been regarding that land from which they went out, they would have had the time to return. But now they are aspiring to something greater. That is, to a heavenly city. Again, don't let heavenly be non-corporeal and up there. let it be heavenly in the sense that it's produced in and comes down from heaven. Therefore, the writer concludes this text, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared for them a city. And that city is the same city to which we are also moving forward. Again, just to summarize a little bit, I made some general comments at the beginning. A very powerful proclamation of what faith can do in our lives as we too are xenoi, strangers, and par epidemoi, sojourners in the land. Assumed, of course, is that we're not too comfortable here and that we're longing for the time when we no longer need to pray the Lord's Prayer. That is to say, the day when the reign of God, the will of God, the name of God, hallowed fully on the earth as it is in heaven. But until that day, we walk by faith, and that way of walking can produce marvelous steadfastness and times of obedience in our lives.